stole a car. He tried to sneak me in a bar when I was only 12 and you were 14. Across that parking lot expanse, well, them oyster shells we danced, while some cowboy watched you twisting through the porch screen. Sister, big sister, you've been my seawall, you've been my flood, you're in my blood, I thank God for you. I thank God for you.
You're listening to KZFR 90.1 FM and KZFR.org. Time for another campfire recovery update. I am Matt Fidler. California State Assemblyman James Gallagher introduced legislation that would streamline environmental review for new housing in Butte County in an attempt to increase housing in the area. KRCR Channel 7 quoted Assemblyman Gallagher as saying, "The campfire destroyed 14,000 homes, 14% of Butte County's housing stock, and the county fell 17 places, more than any other county in the state on the affordability index. The rental market vacancy rate also fell to nearly 0% after the fire. There is literally no housing for people who desperately want to find housing in this area." But Chico Mayor Randall Stone said the bill is a huge overreach, taking away conditional land use authority away from the city and into the hands of Sacramento. In a Facebook post, Mayor Stone said, "AB 430 as drafted is dead on arrival. What a waste of effort and time. Let's be clear, AB 430 would preempt all cities in Butte County and mandate ministerial approval over all housing projects for a period of no less than 10 years. A city would not be able to condition any development. I won't have some bureaucrats in Sacramento telling us how we can and can't use our land in Chico and Butte County. And I don't know anyone who would. Waste of time and effort." Now, I've talked about the website and community group makeitparadise.org. Well, if you're interested in them, mark your calendars for April 16th and April 18th. April 16th, there will be a presentation giving summaries about the previous listening meetings where community members express their hopes for the future of the Ridge. This is a one-hour presentation at the Paradise Alliance Community Church going from 6 to 7 p.m. on April 16th. The meeting on April 18th is also at the Paradise Alliance Church and will go from 4 to 6 p.m., then another one at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. The point of these meetings are for a presentation of the community vision based off of the initial ideas. People can view the plan and provide feedback. Again, this is at the Paradise Alliance Church, which is located at 6491 Clark Road. You can get more information at makeitparadise.org. And if you have any news or areas of concerns that you'd like addressed on this report, please send me an email to fireupdates@kzfr.org. I'm Matt Fidler, delivering updates on the campfire recovery effort right here at KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico.
Yeah, Blue Collar Man's the sticks there, and we're going to be talking about poverty today on The Big Idea. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And this is The Big Idea. I just want to remind you that the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers. And I also want to say thank you to KZFR's supporters and Printed Image, specializing in custom screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. Using the latest technology in their state-of-the-art building, the Printed Image provides custom screen printing, embroidery, and apparel and promotional products for business, organizations, or special events with dedicated specialists providing quality service, quick turnaround, and memorable products. Call 898-9525 or visit printedimage.com. And we have Blake Hollingsworth, my faithful co-host, back from a bout with mono, and we also have Aaron O'Neill with us from the Poor People's Campaign to talk about poverty today. How are you guys doing?
I survived.
You survived. Well, excuse the pun, but I'm glad you're moving in stereo again instead of mono. I prepared that joke, and it was so much worse than I actually thought it was. All right. On that terrible note, we are here to talk about poverty and really the great impact it has on Northern California. The Big Idea, of course, is about taking the ideas of public policy, the large ideas of public policy, and applying them on a local level. So California, in general, has a large homeless population, a large poverty-stricken area. And we're wondering, are there some ways we can get our community out of poverty? And some facts here. From the U.S. Census Bureau, 20.5% of Butte County, estimated 229,000 residents live in poverty. In California, the number is 13% overall, with 39.5 million residents. And nationwide, it's 12% of the 312 million residents in the country are living in poverty. So we have some questions here that we kind of want to examine. The first one is kind of, I don't know, I think of it as a superficial question in a way, because it's just a really poor way, I think, of addressing the issue. But the obvious question here, for all you folks is, can we put a simple Band-Aid on this and say poverty will go away if we increase minimum wage? What are you guys' thoughts?
No.
No. Yeah, that would be my thought, too. It's just, it's not that simple. Aaron, do you have any thoughts on increasing minimum wage? Is it just going to be, is it, I mean, Bernie Sanders is famous for saying, we got to increase minimum wage for $15 an hour. And as much as I'm a socialist and generally support Bernie to some degree, that argument for me is just a non-starter. What are your thoughts, especially with the perspective of the Poor People's Campaign?
Well, it's good to be here, and my personal thoughts are that raising the minimum wage would be good. I think if you're going to work 40 hours a week, you should be able to afford the basics of living. And right now, at minimum wage, you really can't. And so I support increasing it, but it's only one piece of the puzzle, and it has to be done in a way that's going to actually help and not just raise everything else. I worry that if they just raise the minimum wage, then everything else will raise, and then we'll be back to where we started. So
yeah, vicious cycle. Yeah. Of yeah. Inflation and all that, and things that are too complicated economically for me to understand.
Yeah, it's a little bit beyond my pay grade, but I think that if you work for a living, you should be able to afford the basics, food, rent, you know, everything, you know, things that you need to survive. And right now people are working 2-3 jobs just to make ends meet, and I don't think that's right. So
yeah, I would actually expand further on that idea. You know, I don't think you should have to have a regular 9-to-5 job to have your basic needs met. I think everybody should be able to have their basic needs met on a societal level. And, you know, that kind of extends beyond the scope of this show, unfortunately. But, you know, my question becomes, what can we do to support everybody in poverty and everybody as they try and struggle to make ends meet throughout our community? Because our community, I mean, 20.5% of people in poverty. And, you know, as you were saying, Aaron, in the Poor People's Campaign, a lot of people live just one paycheck away from poverty or from houselessness or, you know, all these disasters that could befall them. That's not much leeway and not much space.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even myself, if I miss one paycheck, I'm in a bad situation. And many people are in worse off situations than myself. And I don't remember the exact percentage of people that are in that situation, but it's very high. And we need to be in a situation where that's not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to protect not only our most vulnerable citizens, children and those without houses, but we need to protect those in the middle, too. Blake, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, one way to go about it, I guess, would be to raise minimum wage.
Right. Haven't we been down this road before 2 seconds ago?
Yes.
Wow, circle.
Yes.
Let's move on from the circle and try and get out of it. Presuming that minimum wage is Band-Aid, and I think of a lot of these issues, a lot of the ideas that I wrote down in the show sheet as Band-Aids, you know, raising minimum wage, trying to regulate our way out of this with rent control and other issues. I mean, I think these are important steps that we can take, but I think to actually solve the problem, we'd actually have to expand further and look at really, I don't want to say holding a revolution, because we can't quite do that, or it would be hard to do that, but I think we have to take revolutionary tactics in how we approach this issue. And so I'm wondering if you guys, A, share that opinion, and B, if you have any thoughts on the revolutionary tactics that we might take on the local level.
Well, my question is, can you give me an example of what that would look like? What's a revolutionary tactic?
Well, I'm kind of leaving that open to you. But I guess in my mind, you know, a revolution would look like, you know, storming the halls of city council and saying, hey, we're taking over now, and, you know, we'll clean up the mess, but we'll take over now. So that would be like the extreme end, but maybe a moderate end might be, you know, civil disobedience, you know, Occupy-like protests, things of that nature, like taking the protest idea and taking all the civic engagement ideas that we discussed a couple of weeks ago and taking them to a grander scale, I suppose.
But to what end?
Well, to the end of getting rid of poverty, of course. I don't know. Am I not being specific enough, or are you just being difficult there, Blake?
Well, as someone who's connected to the Poor People's Campaign, I'm familiar with civil disobedience.
Right.
And, you know, that goes way back to Martin Luther King, of course. And the civil act of disobedience did have a good effect. They did let people know what was going on. And they did bring things into the national consciousness of the nation that we're being kind of pushed to the side before then. So I'm all for that type of thing if that is going to help people talk about the real issues that need to be talked about and address them. But you know, there are other things that are less, disobedient. I mean, just we have the right to protest, we have the right to write letters, we have the right to be on the radio and to bring these issues before the people in a way that will make it heard and move the masses towards helping people in poverty. There's a lot of things we can do that don't require revolutionary tactics, but sometimes a little civil disobedience doesn't hurt, according to Martin Luther King.
Yeah, and I think Martin Luther King was definitely right. I think civil disobedience and noncompliance to some extent can get you far. I think, obviously, we're associated with the Peace and Justice Center, so we don't condone violent actions, but I think some people would say that we need violent actions to make a change. I don't think we do. I just think we need to be assertive and really push these ideas forward. Don't let them stagnate, and don't let the issue become overridden by other contingents and other views. You need to be strong, you need to be consistent, you really need to really stand up and say, hey, these issues are important, these issues need to be heard, let your voice be heard. That would be the most important thing, because in speaking to poverty and speaking to a variety of other issues, I'm reminded of the Simpsons quote, one nation under the dollar with liberty and justice for none. And I have to prevent myself so many times, especially, every time the salute to the flag happens, I'm always like, okay, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. But that really boils down my thoughts about, the great injustices that happen and the limits on free speech that we face on a day-to-day basis. So I'm ranting, so I don't... Blake, do you have thoughts that can get us out of my rant here?
What are some concrete ways that City Council can help people in poverty?
That's a good question. There was a great contentious discussion about the Orange Street idea of putting the Orange Street shelter in, and there were a lot of public voices heard last night, but that was a non-actionable item. And, going back to rent control or raising wages or that sort of stuff, Seattle said in the city that minimum wage was going to be $15 an hour. So we admitted that that's a Band-Aid, but that could be a Band-Aid that we could use in Chico. Rent control could be another Band-Aid that we use in Chico to prevent... or to at least lessen the extent that people in poverty are suffering. I don't know, Aaron, what do you think the city council might do, or the city councils across Northern California might do to address poverty?
Well, there's a lot of ideas. Obviously, how a city treats its homeless, its poor, the least of these, the marginalized, that's an indication of the compassion of the city. And I just think that anything that they can do to help them and not just make them move away from downtown or make them, out of sight, out of mind, can be helpful. Providing shelter of various forms is obviously helpful. But making sure that, there's a lot of other things that they can do to help with poverty. My mind is kind of blanking right now on all the different ways that they can do it, but
yeah, there are a multitude of ways, and I think, to me, the point of doing this show and having this discussion is to bring up the idea, of course, but to get people at home thinking about, okay, what are some ways that we can concretely address poverty in our city or in our communities? And we obviously serve a wider range of communities in Northern California, so it's going to differ from city to city. And, you know, unfortunately, I can't get to all the city council meetings that are out there and the broadcast range that we serve, but I imagine that the issues facing Chico are different from the issues facing Orland or Oroville, and the way that we can address issues on a city level is certainly different from the ways we can address issues on a county level. So I would encourage everybody to just really put your thinking caps on and try and figure out ways that we can move forward with these issues. So, Blake, do you have any concrete ideas since you brought up the question?
Well, to go back to a dead horse, minimum wage.
Right.
I think one of my biggest concerns has been $15 seems like a random number.
It is relatively arbitrary. I don't know where that number came from. Bernie Sanders said it, so then the entire nation said, oh, Bernie Sanders said it. It must be of some significance. But, you know, just because a politician says something doesn't mean it's of significance. But I do think, in general, the concept of giving people, guaranteeing people that are working more would be a good thing. And I think guaranteeing people that are disabled and can't work, giving them more would be good too. I being one of those people.
But my thought is, can we do something a little smarter? Like, can we just index the minimum wage to the cost of living in that community?
That would make sense. Every year, for those that are on Social Security, there is something called a cost of living adjustment, or a COLA, that adjusts your income based on the way the cost of living has increased throughout the year. And it's usually not enough to compensate for the cost of living going up, but that is a mechanism that we could perhaps use to drive up wages or to calculate increases in wages. That's a good idea.
Another.
I was just going to say that $15 in California doesn't go as far as $15 in, I don't know, Wyoming.
Right.
Well, another dead horse. Just more jobs. Having more jobs would help. And probably the thing that's slowing down job growth is probably housing.
Yeah. Yeah, the housing, we were talking about this before the show. It seems like, you know, Blake and I were looking at all these areas in Chico. I live in North Chico. There's a lot of empty lots. If you look at South Chico right now around 20th Street, there's a lot of former retail buildings that are empty. There are a lot of open spaces. And these open spaces, some of them are zoned for residential, but they're not building. Why are they not building? This is a question that often comes to my mind as I'm playing SimCity. I zoned it. Why are you not building? It's a valid question. And Blake, do you have some answer to that one?
Well, I imagine historically what's prevented development eastward toward the foothills has been environmental issues.
Right.
Things like fairy shrimp, butte meadow foam, runoff. There's a lot of concerns.
Yeah, and there's got to be this balance. And I know we have a lot of listeners that are environmentalists, so listen to me out. Hear me out here. There's got to be a balance between your environmental concerns, which are valid because we don't want to kill the environment, but there's got to be a balance between that and development. And, you know, how you strike that balance, how it weighs out, that's an important and contentious discussion, potentially, that can be held in city council meetings throughout our area. So, Blake, I do think that's a valid point. I mean, there are some that say, you know, Chico in particular, we think of ourselves as a small community, but we're really becoming a moderately sized city. And some people say we don't want it to grow anymore. But, you know, if you want to take care of our population, we need increases in housing. We need to change a lot of these things.
It's a hard thing to strike a balance with, too, especially because of the campfire.
Right.
We have this external pressure to grow.
Yeah, this huge influx of people, and we, you know, we were already in a housing situation before the campfire. Now it's doubled, even tripled, as far as the pressure goes. And I think a couple weeks ago, I was basically referencing Susan Trudy when she said, you know, we want to not continue to expand and grow out, but we want to grow up as far as, you know, increasing residential capacity, building larger buildings. I think that, for me, that would be a good way to address our situation without completely destroying our environment. That's just one way to go, but I think that would be a good one.
But that goes back to, do you want to maintain that small town image?
Right. And personally, I want a city, darn it. That's just me. That's just coming from having lived in a lot of the cities that the Chico First contingent wants to bash on, you know, Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, Los Angeles. I like those cities a lot, and I know that Chico is different, but I think that Chico can grow into a city, and we can grow into a good and healthy city. So we're running out of time here, Aaron, do you have any last thoughts that you want to get out while we're in this discussion mode here?
Well, I'm not super familiar with all the local options, but I think one thing we haven't mentioned yet, which is worth mentioning, is the whole medical situation. That's one of the other main things that can cause somebody to go into poverty is getting sick, getting surgery. Anything medical related is so expensive that one thing can cause great change to your whole financial situation. And you know, I've been in this boat. I'm still paying off some medical debt myself, and don't really want to go back to the doctor because then it'll just grow even more. And I know that a lot of people depend upon these things to survive and are having to choose between, you know, getting help or paying their bills. And so I would like to see nationally something dramatically overhauled. Medicare for all is my personal choice.
Mine too.
And so I like what Bernie Sanders has to say about that, and I really hope that that can happen, because that is causing poverty on a big time level. And I know so many people that need medical attention that they just can't afford. And so you either go into huge debt or you just try to survive, and many people don't.
Yeah, absolutely true. Well, Aaron, I thank you so much for being here. Is there a quick web address that people can use to access the Poor People's Campaign and what's going on there?
PoorPeople'sCampaign.org is their national website. They also have a California Poor People's Campaign on Facebook, which I recommend checking out and liking. And we're going to have one here in Chico very soon, which I'm part of getting started. And myself and Greg Schaefer are going to be working with the Poor People's Campaign here in Chico and in the California region. And so, yeah, check that out. If you like Martin Luther King, you'll love the Poor People's Campaign.
Awesome. Well, we got to get out of here. So I'm just going to say one more thing here. Don't forget the Pancakes for Peace is coming up on Sunday, April 21st. The Chico Peace and Justice Center will be hosting the 38th annual Pancakes for Peace fundraiser from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Chico Card Center. For more information on that, check out our Facebook page. And let's get out of here with a little bit of Ralph McTell, The Streets of London, if it'll play here. There we go. Got to hit the right button. All right. Please tip the show, KZFR.org, if you like it. And till next time, stay safe and stay sane. Stay tuned for Non-Human Radio coming up next here on FM 90.1 KZFR.
Shoes. In his eyes you see no pride, and held loosely at his side, yesterday's paper telling yesterday's news. So how can you tell me you're lonely, and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hand and lead you through the streets of London. Show you something to make you change your mind. Have you seen the old girl who walks the streets of London? Dirt in her hair and her clothes in rags. She's no time for talking, she just keeps right on walking, carrying her home in two carrier bags.
The Wildflower Music Festival is back with a lineup of music including two headliners, ALO and Nikki Bloom. Also playing will be the Electric Circus, Triple Tree, Hot Flash, and Wolf Thumb. The festival is May 4th from 11:30 to 8 p.m. in a terrific venue amongst the trees at 2500 Estes Road, Band of Normal. The Wildflower Music Festival is a family-friendly event with activities to keep the kids occupied, including free jump houses, face painting, crafts, and activities. There will be food vendors, a silent auction, and merchandise for sale, including Jake Early print t-shirts and clean canteen pint cups. Don't forget to stop in for a Sierra Nevada brew, all while listening and dancing to ALO and Nikki Bloom. There will also be a silent auction and a 50-50 raffle. All proceeds go to Wildflower Open Classroom. Tickets are $45 and free for kids 10 and under. For more information, visit wildflowermusicfest.com. Wildflower Music Festival is one of the best local events of the year. Get your tickets now.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Ohm Foods, serving organic, non-GMO whole foods, including wild-caught mahi-mahi, and they have the largest vegan menu in downtown Chico. Ohm Foods serves homemade teas and lemonade, acai bowls, and smoothies blended with coconut water, and they're located at 142 Broadway, just two blocks from Chico State. They're open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. with to-go and catering available. For more info, go to iloveohmfoods.com or find them on Facebook. And we're also made possible by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached by calling 518-0924. This is KZFR 90.1 FM in Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Up next, Non-Human Radio.